Tuesday. Today is August the 6th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to continue talking with Dr. Horacio Lopez-Nicora about the importance of getting out there and scouting those soybean fields, looking for different pests. And at times, there can be some confusion as some of the symptoms look similar between different pathogens. We're going to talk about that and ways to clarify after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me today is Dr. Horacio Lopez-Nicora. He is our soybean pathologist and nematologist with OSU Extension. For farmers across the state, maybe at this time of the year, what are some key things they should be looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dusty. So, normally, when we're getting into flowering, right, R1, where we're transitioning from vegetative to reproductive growth stage, that's where some of our soybeans, especially the most susceptible ones, will be more prone to be infected by the fungus that causes white mold. White mold will really, the fungus that produces white mold will infect at flowering. And normally, with the history and the prevalence of that disease in an area, fungicide can be a really good one. But it has to be at the right timing, right? We need to protect those flowers in areas where we normally have white mold, in areas where conditions are conducive. So like you just mentioned, it was pretty dry, but still we have high relative humidity. In areas where our row spacing is very narrow and we're creating or avoiding that flow of air, those are conditions that definitely may enhance the development of white mold. Once we're getting more into the R3 growth stage, and like I mentioned at the beginning, that window of R3, R5 is where we really want to protect our soybean health. So that's the time where we're going to encounter a lot of the foliar diseases caused by pathogens. And again, if the selection of the cultivar variety was a susceptible one, maybe a fungicide will help mitigate your reduction if the disease develop in that growth stage. Always, make sure to select a resistant variety, specifically when you are dealing with a history of recurrent foliar pathogens. Touching a little bit on this topic, and I think we mentioned an example such as frog eye leaf spot. It's interesting, like 2 years ago in our fungicide trials in Northwest Ohio, we started detecting frog eye leaf spot, something that in previous year, it was a disease that was more common in the southern part of the state. And if we just look at the life cycle of this pathogen, the disease cycle, we call it in plant pathology, the pathogen will overwinter on crop residue, debris, right? And it will be killed, or very cold winters will avoid the pathogen to survive or overwinter, as we call it, right? And we have been experiencing milder winters in the past years, and we strongly believe that this could be a possibility of why we're seeing frog eyes in northern part of the state we didn't before. And it's, again, just something for us to know based on what we're observing, inform, and encourage people to walk their fields. Again, scout if you're seeing these symptoms. If you're not sure what you're looking at, send it to the lab. We're going to be able to help you diagnose.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at crop.com. coverage.com.
We're going to continue our visit with Dr. Horacio Lopez-Nacor, soybean nematologist and pathologist at The Ohio State University, talking about some different soybean pathogens and diseases we can be scouting for this time of year.
You know, we're talking about, getting more into the R3 to R5. Mm-hmm. People will start seeing SDS, mm-hmm. right? Sudden death syndrome. It's a very common disease that shows up a lot in Ohio. Very easy to identify. We see leaves that retain the green color of the vein, and in between, the tissue start getting yellow and dying. So we call that interveinal chlorosis or necrosis as it progresses, that tissue will die. And then you have premature defoliation, and that all will really count into reducing yield, right? What is interesting about this is two things. One is the pathogen that causes SDS is a soil-borne pathogen. It lives in the soil and it infects the root. It's really rotting the root system of the plant and can really infect the plant as early as those seeds germinate. So it's a fungus that will infect very early, and the symptoms will be obvious very late in the season, right? And really, very cold or cool soil temperature conditions will enhance that disease to be more severe. So, you know, now we're planting earlier and earlier, which means that we're planting into more cooler or colder soil. And if we have a history of the presence of the fungus that causes SDS, then this could be more severe. Now, what would you do? Plant later? That's something that we don't want to start gambling with, right? We're going to wait a little bit longer. So those soil temperatures get higher, but we may run into weeks of rain that we cannot go and plant our field, or we can end up in June, and we don't want to do that. The later we plant soybean, we know that we're also compromising yield. So selection of moderate resistance to SDS and an effective seed treatment are two of the very good management strategies that we recommend. Soil compaction will also enhance this disease severity. So, make sure our soils are very well drained, and that will help also with other issues. The other thing that I want to mention about SDS is that the symptoms that we see, and we're pretty good at diagnosing it as SDS, are also produced by other pathogens. So brown stem rot, the pathogen that causes brown stem rot, will produce the same type of symptom. So from the track, we can easily say, hey, that's SDS. Well, in reality, it's a different pathogen causing a different disease. And this is important because the management will be different. So how do we distinguish one from the other? If we split the stem of the soybean, those soybeans that are showing those interveinal chlorosis and necrosis, then we can see a brown discoloration inside the stem piece. And that's normally an indication that we have brown stem rot as opposed to SDS. But again, you can send sample to a lab and we will help. We will need the root system, though. Sometimes we will receive leaves, beautiful symptoms of SDS, but only the leaves, and we cannot say much because the causal agent, the organism that is causing that, is in the root system. And that's where we want to really pinpoint and identify.
That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.